Hey everyone, and welcome to That's Just My Opinion, the podcast hosted by me, Matt Lantrip.
And me, David Navarro.
Where we interview people about any opinion they have on any topic of their choice. So, this week, got another Me and David episode. Just a heads up to everyone, next week we're going to be starting the D&D stuff.
Oh yeah.
We'll be switching back and forth every week so it's not just a month of D&D episodes. Because as you heard last week, we did our, you heard about the characters and how to do it, and then next week you'll hear the first part of the campaign, and then so it's going to go every other week just for the summer, just to kind of, so you guys can skip if you want. But I highly suggest listening because great time.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun.
So this week we're doing summer blockbusters. We're gearing up for some
it's
summertime
so
fun
time. So we're in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And my thinking was 4th of July weekend tends to be like the biggest weekend of the summer.
Yeah, it's Christmas for summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Effectively.
Yeah, it's Christmas in July. So, and there's always movies that come out, you know, and everyone's always talking about the summer blockbuster movie, the big movie of that year. And, like, every studio is trying to put out their biggest production movie at that time.
Yeah, this is where the hammer hits the anvil.
Exactly.
So
and
to
I,
speak.
And I was kind of thinking, I was like, you know, it's been a while since I've really been drawn to the movies. And this year, mainly because I found a theater next to me that does $7 tickets for first run shows. So I'm like, all right, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Especially in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And
where a normal theater ticket's $15-$20.
Exactly. That's the thing. All this theater, anytime, any showing after 12 p.m., it turns into a $15 ticket.
Right. But if you get early day, if you get there before, you know, in the morning,
which we have done.
Yeah, which we've done together, then it's a $7 ticket. And you walk in, you spend $10 for that and a popcorn, you're out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's great. It's a great way to start your day. So, but I was thinking, I was like, there's not a lot of movies that have really interested me over the past few years. And especially with the big blockbuster stuff, I'm not sure if it was just my film school influence of being like indies, but I've kind of waded out of that.
Well, I think, and when you first sent me the text that we were going to do this episode, my first thought was, because I believe the way you phrased it was, like, there's nothing exciting in summer blockbusters anymore. And the first thought I had was, well, there's nothing exciting for you and I anymore. You know, we've done 5 Transformers summer blockbuster movies already. We've done those. You know, we've done the big superhero blockbusters. We've done all these things. You know, we've been doing them for the past 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not the target dem for a lot of these summer blockbusters anymore. And, like, I mean, yeah, we can say that the summer blockbuster is slowly dying, but it's making more money than it's ever made by a huge margin.
Not this year.
Really?
Really.
Well, I mean, like, the ones that we've gotten so far, it's been a slow start. Don't get me wrong. Like, nothing's really
Baywatch tanked.
Pirates do pretty solid?
Pirates did decent. Cars 3 tanked. It only made like 85 mil.
Yeah, I mean, that's awful for Pixar.
Especially for Cars, is like their biggest franchise.
Right. I mean, it's their only franchise outside of like Toy Story, which I don't even consider a franchise. That is a phenomenon.
Yeah, that
like,
is. Just,
yeah, I mean, like, it's crazy. Yeah,
there's no way to make 3 movies and have them all be that solid.
Yeah. I mean, and then you have stuff like The Mummy, I'm sure, is going to tank, or it's already come out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's already come out.
I mean, I don't even know what the numbers are on that, but, like, I'm sure they're not great.
You could look it up.
There's already so much drag down on that entire franchise that's just getting launched. People already don't want it. I think the market is oversaturated in the summer blockbuster feel. But I feel like there's still gonna be 2 or 3 that break a bill. I mean, easily.
Oh, there definitely are, and there are some that I think already have, based on the list for this year. So we'll get into. So we're gonna work back, starting this year, 2017, all the way to 2014, and we just have like we're not gonna like talk about each movie individually. We're just gonna get. We're gonna
kind of talk
about
2017.
We'll get a general feel of each year and kind of see what.
Because I got to be honest, 2017 feels like it's front and back loaded and everything in the middle is bad.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but
I completely agree. And
right.
Here, I'm going to get to the list because this does it in order of, like, release date.
Got it.
So the first one, I'm going off a Rolling Stones article talking about summer movie preview for this year.
Uh-huh.
First one. So it all tends to start in May. And that's when all
so
the
probably
Marvel.
Like Kong, too?
This is when, no, Kong was earlier than that.
Was that April?
That was like April, March, April.
Wow.
Yeah. The first one they have is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Solid.
Yeah. We've talked about it.
Yep.
Love it.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah. After that, Alien Covenant.
Yeah. I mean, I was never interested in it, but just because I'm turned off on the Alien franchise at this point, I can't
do it anymore. I've heard mixed reviews, but it still did well.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going to have mixed reviews to a certain extent, but yeah. Let's keep going.
Yeah, so, you know, again, there they didn't put King Arthur on there. I think that was kind of like a mid-level summer blockbuster.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Guy Ritchie film, which, yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of Guy Ritchie, I highly recommend that movie as, like, a huge Guy Ritchie nerd. Like,
we still need to see it.
I have seen it.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay. You mean, you're talking about your wife.
Yes.
Yeah. No, she's I went and saw it with my wife, Will. Will and I went and saw it together because he's a big Guy Ritchie fan. He's also a big King Arthur fan. And yeah. I'm a big King Arthur fan to a certain extent. And I like all the King Arthur movies. And I'm also a huge Guy Ritchie fan. I mean, like, yeah, I've seen Snatch awesome. Probably 30 times. Mm-hmm. Rock and Rolla, I often quote, is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, even stuff like Revolver, one of his lesser known mm-hmm. movies with Andre 2000. Like, that's a great movie. And Jason Statham with hair. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, he has such a repertoire of, like, awesome crime movies. And
he's very stylistic. That's the thing. He has such a unique style.
And the very first time I saw, and I mean, he's got this big, like, crime family, like, movie series. Like they're all about crime. They're all about criminals and the underground and in London. And the first time, and he's got this, like, very particular style. I mean, you even see some of it in Sherlock, right? You see all of his styles in Sherlock and even some of, like, the underground London stuff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he did Sherlock
Holmes. 1 and 2. And the first one's great. The second one's okay. But, like, I really enjoy both of them just because I love Guy Ritchie. Mm-hmm. I love his style. And I enjoy those movies. But when I first saw the trailer of this first King Arthur, when I like saw the very first one, the trailer opens up and it's King Arthur telling the story of like what happened, and like he's telling it, you know, as he's telling the story about like these people and these places, we're seeing little snippets of it, and I was like, wow, that's a really Guy Ritchie move. It was the very first thought I had, and after about 10 seconds I was like, this feels like a Guy Ritchie trailer. Is Guy Ritchie making a King Arthur movie? And then like, you know, and they never show the director.
No, because like, Guy Ritchie isn't enough of a household name.
Right, exactly. So like, they showed
the people
like,
who know him will know, but they don't need to market to that audience.
So there was at the end of the trailer when it shows you like the brought to you by, and it was like brought to you by the people who made Sherlock. And I was like, dude, is this a fucking Guy Ritchie movie? And like when it showed the final like splash sequence where it's like showing you who's in it, and like you can see all the producers and stuff at the bottom. I'm like scanning, like where the fuck is Guy Ritchie? I was like, there he is, Guy Ritchie directed. Oh my god, I'm seeing this opening weekend. I missed it by opening week. I missed by like a week, but still, yeah. I loved it.
We were out of town for like two weekends in a row. That is when that came out, so we just happened to miss it. Because the next time we were actually able to go see a movie on the weekend was Wonder Woman opening.
Yeah, and so you had to go do that. I mean, and. Not to say it was snubbed out of being a summer blockbuster, but Guy Ritchie doesn't make summer blockbusters.
No, he doesn't. But it just happened to come out around that time. And it came out on a good weekend for that to come out. Nothing else was really coming out.
Yeah, and it was fun. I mean, like, again, Guy Ritchie fans are going to enjoy it. Everyone else is going to be like, this is a weird King Arthur movie.
Yeah, which I will say that Clive Owen King Arthur movie from, like,
I love that
mid-2000s,
movie.
probably the best King Arthur movie.
It's super solid, but super underrated.
It's crazy because it takes such a historical context to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like high fantasy. Well, it's not as high fantasy.
No,
as
it's more historical.
Yeah, but it's still like, pretty fantastic.
Like the wizards and stuff. It's like, no, they're not actually wizards. They're just forest people.
Right. They're just like, you know, tribal weirdos, effectively. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we had Alien Covenant. And then really the first bomb of the summer was Baywatch.
Yeah, I mean, and Baywatch was kind of coming off the heels. I thought it was a TV show. I thought they were doing a TV show. Oh, it's coming off the heels of 21 Jump Street, really, is what it's doing.
Yeah,
and
it felt like it was trying to do that without all the people involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at it, like, 22 Jump Street nailed it with their end credit sequence.
Yeah,
like, just everything. Rubbing it in that they're going to do a million of it. And it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like, that's brilliant. Now, this is, like, the message to everybody. Be like, okay, don't do another 22 Jump Street. Like, stop it here. And they're like, oh, we're going to do Baywatch and the same idea. We're just going to, like, redo it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like,
fine.
Fuck, man.
It's fine. I'm okay with it, but you thought The Rock being the lead was going to carry it a lot more.
Yeah, and he has carried a couple movies in the last couple of years. This is his first bomb. Really?
Yeah, this is, like, his first real bomb.
Well, I mean, between him and Alexandra Daddario, like, I'm surprised it didn't do well, because both of them are fantastic.
And then you got Zac Efron in there, who's kind of making a name for himself in the more adult comedy
stuff. Yeah, the adult
stuff.
Comedies all of a sudden. Eh.
Yeah, because, I mean, the trailer painted him, like, in the perfect role that everyone thought he would be in. Like, the funny douche guy. Like,
I mean, the trailer made it look like it was going to be another one.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was going to be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah. And just people just didn't go see it.
I mean, here's how you do a Baywatch movie. You do a Baywatch starring Seth Rogen.
That'd be funny.
You know what I mean? And just do it all tongue-in-cheek. Nothing serious.
Or do 23 Jump Street Baywatch.
Yeah, or do that and just
literally
like, blow it all up.
Yeah, literally just like... No, but I'm saying Baywatch happens... with Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum in their uniform.
And just call it 22 Jump Street or 23 Jump Street, Baywatch.
Colon Baywatch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That'd be great. I mean, there's like nine ways to do it, and doing it as like a remake, a comedic remake, is just like flat comedic remake is just bad.
Yeah. And then what's funny about that 22 Jump Street end credits thing, they were actually very serious about doing the 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Really?
That was actually good. That was in development.
And now?
I think it's died. But there was a solid year where that was in development.
That's hilarious.
How amazing would that be?
I would have seen that opening weekend just for more Men in Black.
But if you actually got Phil Lord and Chris Miller to do it.
Yeah. I mean, you could do something there.
Even if they even if they just remade Men in Black with those guys.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
I'd go see it.
Speaking of which, we'll have to talk about the Han Solo stuff afterwards.
Yeah, another episode.
So after Baywatch, the next big thing is Wonder Woman.
Okay, really quickly.
Did very well.
Now that we mentioned Wonder Woman.
Outside of reviews.
Right.
It did very well, and it was highly received for a DC movie.
Okay. Since we touched on Wonder Woman, I have to explain this. Wonder Woman is a bad movie.
It's not great, but it's decent.
Hold on. In comparison to all the DC movies that we've gotten, Wonder Woman is a godsend.
Yes.
Wonder Woman raised the bar a whole 3.5 inches. But here's the problem. The bar was 2 feet underground. Like, that's how bad this movie series is.
It brought it up to the surface. Yeah.
I mean, like, the movie series is so bad. Every movie that's been in the DCU since Nolan finished his series.
Yeah. Ever since the Snyderverse started.
Yeah. Since the Snyderverse started, it's just been dumpster fire after dumpster fire after dumpster fire. And then it's just like, hey, this is just normal dumpster. Hey, look at that.
Hey,
normal
dumpster. There's no fire.
And here's the thing, is you cannot like this movie and not be sexist. I know it's difficult to wrap our heads around, but like, this movie's allowed to be bad.
Yeah.
It's allowed to be a bad movie. Like, just because I don't love this movie doesn't mean I hate women. Like, so for background for the listeners who aren't aware of this, I saw it and then I posted it on Facebook. A simple question. Can someone please explain to me why Wonder Woman is good? Thank you. I woke up the next morning to my girlfriend being like, David, oh my God, look at your fucking Facebook.
Yeah.
I opened it up and there's... Well, let's not... Yeah. I'm not going to name names on the podcast.
No, but I'm going to say there was one person who really took it into a direction that no one else was looking at.
Well, let's not get into the specifics of who had what argument, because I don't think anyone was wrong in that argument. I think there's plenty of people who have certain feelings about how this movie series is going to play out, and I really think that Wonder Woman is like a bombshell to talk about. Like, it's dangerous, because people are like, wanted it, right? And people wanted it to be good. And that's fair. Like, I've wanted movies to be good, and sometimes they aren't. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say King Arthur is not a good movie. It was fun, and I like it as a Guy Ritchie film, but I'm not going to stand here and defend it and be like, oh, this is one of the top five movies of this year. No. It's not even close. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bad movie, and I'm okay with it being a bad movie because it was fun for me.
Which is why I'm so, like, my confusion for you not, like, just vehemently not liking this movie.
Which one?
Wonder Woman.
What do you mean?
Because, like... I know you like bad movies, and then...
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the context for it, right? Is like, we did need a good female superhero movie. We haven't had one yet. Now, we have had a lot of strong female characters in high-action comic book movies, don't get me wrong, but we haven't had a strong female-led movie yet. That being said, that doesn't mean we're all supposed to stand behind the one we get and rally behind and act like it's fucking gold. Like, I'm behind everyone's sentiment of, like, we need a good female superhero movie. I totally agree. I'm with you 100%.
You just don't think we've done it yet.
I don't think we've done it yet. That's and I'm fair. Not okay with us standing around Wonder Woman, circle jerking all over it, and then calling it phenomenal. It's not what we deserve. We deserve better. We deserve a franchise who takes their female superheroes seriously and decide to make a good movie and allow their creators to be good creators and not have to make this dumb. I mean, like, where was the Jon Favreau treatment for Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
Like, were they handed the rights to Wonder Woman? Just like, hey, make your Wonder Woman movie. Or they're like, okay, here's your Wonder Woman movie. You have to make it in World War or something. and it has to have these elements, and you have to do this, and you have to have these actors,
well,
and you
got to
be careful.
Knowing,
yeah, I mean, knowing the franchise and knowing like these big budget movies at this point, yeah, there had to be so much involvement from behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's how DC tends to work, especially with Zack Snyder being there and producing and overseeing things. Yeah, it makes it hard.
Yeah.
It definitely does. But I think you've gotten your case moved on. I'm just going to say, personally, I didn't think it was great. I enjoyed it. I think there's about 20, 30 minutes of that movie you could easily take out.
Yeah, easily.
Other than that, I mean, I don't compare it to other movies. I compare it to superhero movies. I'd put it in the middle of superhero movies because I think a lot of the stuff we've gotten recently
is real
Marvel,
garbage. Oh, yeah. On Marvel's side, too. I'm not going to.
Like, I didn't see Doctor Strange till. Awful. Dude, the ending was so anticlimactic.
I mean, it was funny.
It ruined the movie for me.
Honestly, I thought that was hilarious. I love how it ended with.
A conversation.
Yeah, Dormammu, I've come to bargain a million times. I thought that was funny. I liked the humor in there. But other than that,
it was pretty lacking.
Overall, it's lacking.
I thought Wonder Woman was better than Doctor Strange.
I mean, it's on the same. It's in the same dumpster.
Yeah.
Of just like,
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I just went in with low expectations. My expectations were met and raised a little bit. So I was like, oh, I had a decent time at the theater for $7.
High five, Wonder Woman. High five.
There you go.
So moving on.
That's my criteria. Then one that's been getting huge critical acclaim, I haven't seen yet. Again, as we've mentioned before, if you see the logo A24 on a movie, go see it.
Yeah, it's just a solid, just a stamp. Just turn off the preview and just like go pick it up.
And this one's, it comes at night.
Another horror from A24.
Yeah, another horror, which they, just everything they put out is fantastic.
And the trailer got me fucking turned on about this movie.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Maybe we can go see it. We can probably go see it soon.
Yeah, we'll find a day to do it. But I mean, again, it's just an A24 high five. Go make that movie. Go watch it.
Yes,
it's going to be solid. Until they prove me otherwise, I give the stamp of approval on all A24s.
And the fact that this is getting listed in a summer blockbuster
is a huge step up for them.
Mm-hmm. That means the film is good.
Oh,
for an A24 movie to be listed in like summer blockbuster stuff. That's by
and not just
by,
weird cult indie stuff. Yeah,
yeah, no, and not just like, oh hey, be on the lookout for this movie this summer. It's like, hey, listen. Everyone's freaking out about this.
Right.
Go do it.
The hype machine is real.
Yeah. And it's, from what I've heard, lives up.
Yeah. Can't wait.
All right. So the next one after that, same weekend, The Mummy with Tom Cruise. I was excited for this, and then I saw reviews, and I don't know if I should just wait for a DVD.
I'd say wait for DVD based on just the idea that they're launching a franchise and the fact that Tom Cruise is leading it.
Which is the thing. I love Tom Cruise.
Here's the other thing. Red Letter Media, which if you listen to last week's episode, is part of our franchise. We own Red Letter Media. Red Letter Media, we just produced another video with them where they tore apart The Mummy, and they brought up a very good point of like, why is Tom Cruise being cast in this movie? He's like 60 and he's playing like an action hero.
And he's like falling in love with like a mid 20 something girl.
And he's usually like pretty solid as the action hero. Like the last like four or five films he's done, like pretty solid stuff. Like he hasn't done
Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion. Yeah. I love the Mission Impossible franchise.
Yeah. I mean, like I absolutely love it. I mean, again, Tom Cruise picks some really solid films. And then all of a sudden he picks this dumpster. And they brought up a very good point. This movie doesn't seem like it was made for U.S. market exclusively.
Oh, that's a huge problem nowadays.
It seems like this movie was made as like a just as vanilla as it possibly could, so it translates to everything, and that they just want to put the biggest movie star they can get in, and Tom Cruise is one of the biggest movie stars of all time.
Yeah.
So we'll throw him in the franchise.
And he doesn't have the stink in America that he had.
Exactly.
He has a stink in America that doesn't apply anywhere else.
Right. And so we'll just throw him in this, and we'll see, you know, we'll let the movie make billions of dollars worldwide because they'll be, oh, Tom Cruise movie, yay. But all of us Americans are sitting here being like, Brendan Fraser already did the perfect Mummy movie. Why are you doing it again?
And then he did two real bad ones.
Yeah, but he also did the perfect one.
Yeah, he did. That first one still holds up.
It still holds up. It's still a solid movie. It's still, those Beatles still scare the shit out of me.
I know, right?
Like, I still get goosebumps because of
that.
What's
up, R Save Brendan? Have you seen that?
No.
The subreddit, R Save Brendan?
No, what is it?
Literally, as soon as the Mummy movie was announced with Tom Cruise, a subreddit popped up called R Save Brendan, and it's all about just trying to revitalize the career of Brendan Fraser.
I'm down for it.
Let's just go on there. And it's literally just pictures of him and like just people being like, hey, look, here's Brendan. Let's give him a bunch of upvotes to RL to remind everyone he's still a person.
Nice. I dig it.
It's pretty great.
So what's next on this list?
Rough Night, which came out on June 16th. So that's already out. I mean, I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, nothing about it.
Well, here's the thing about this. It's literally just an all-female remake of Very Bad Things from 1998 with, like, Christian Slater, where the movie is Christian Slater's getting married. They go to, during the bachelor party,
oh,
the
this
prostitute
is the one with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the prostitute gets killed, and then it's all the Very Bad Things is all the fallout from the prostitute getting
killed. Right, and they just keep
and
fucking things up.
Worse, all the way worse, and worse, up, worse, until worse. Up until the wedding. But that's the thing, it takes place up from the bachelor party to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, it's a bad remake.
Right.
And they decided to do an all female version.
Yeah, because, and so it got the Ghostbusters treatment.
Yeah, because diversity. And honestly, like, from the get-go, this just looked bad.
Yeah, not,
you know,
I can't even imagine that it would be listed as a summer blockbuster. So yeah, what's next
so
on
pretty
this?
Much we're into that middle area, though, that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The Big Sick. It's interesting that this is getting, like, a bigger promotion as well. It's a new it's one of Judd Apatow's smaller things. Camille Nanjiani falls in love with this girl.
He's
and
great.
Then she ends up in Ray McDonald, Norm Mc, no, Ray, why am I spacing on his name? Ray Romano. God, I am the
Ray
worst. I am the worst today.
It's
Ray
okay.
Romano.
Uh-huh.
I almost called him Norm McDonald.
Norm McDonald, Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is the dad of the girl, and uh-huh. So it's like him and Camille like starting to get to know each other as this girl's like diagnosed with whatever disease and like
okay.
So it's like a dramedy from Judd Apatow.
Okay. Kind of a play on The Big Short.
Yeah.
Name wise at least.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah. It looks interesting. Personally, I've watched a few of the indie comedies that have come out around the whole mm-hmm. indie dramedy thing. I'm not really into right now.
I'm a fan of a handful of them.
There's like a couple of them, but a lot, especially like all the mumblecore stuff. I'm just mm-hmm. not. I can't do it.
All right.
Like we started watching a while ago. I forgot what it was called. It was the one with Anna Kendrick and people. I don't know. It's the one where like the two couples get together and then they end up like switching. Inadvertently,
I got no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it was some movie. I got bored 30 minutes in. Like
yeah.
These mumblecore movies and like this type of stuff. Like it's interesting. Or like, did you see what's it called? Oh, In a World with Lake Bell.
No, but I've seen it on Netflix. Is it one of those?
Yeah,
I mean, some,
I feel like
some
it's in the same
hard.
Vein. That one, I thought I was gonna like it because the cast was great. Like Demetri uh-huh. Martin, Lake Bell, Ken Marino, Rob Corddry.
So comedians, a comedian like cast.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It was whatever.
Man. That sucks.
Yeah. So I feel like The Big Sick could be good, but I'm also not going to rush out and see it. I'm going to probably wait till it hits HBO.
Right.
Is
that next one Baby Driver?
Yeah. Then this one.
That's the actual hype.
This is the middle one where I'm just like, yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
I hate
Edgar Wright.
I hate the name.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. They could have named it Fuck Movie Dog Shit, and I would have been like, yeah, opening
the,
weekend.
It could have been
Wright,
called
for sure.
Don't See This Movie. It's terrible.
I've seen it. Yeah, I mean, I love Edgar Wright.
No, that's the thing.
It's over.
That's the thing. Cast amazing.
Don't I? You know what? Here's the thing. I don't know. I haven't seen a single trailer.
Really?
I don't know anyone who's in it.
Perfect.
All I know is there's
I mean,
a title.
That right there.
And that's more information than I've ever gotten.
All right, there you go. yeah, but the fact that you know it's Edgar Wright, that makes
yeah,
everything
I'm sold.
Better.
I'm sold. In the same way that it was Guy Ritchie, sold.
Yeah, he has. Edgar Wright really hasn't ever had a bad movie.
Not that I can think of.
Everyone like craps on The World's End. But it's like, it's still a
yeah,
good
movie. It's not
movie,
as good as Hot Fuzz
or Shaun of the Dead. But as a movie, compared to other people's, great.
Well, Hot Fuzz is a modern comedic masterpiece.
Which is funny, because that didn't happen when it came out.
It got
a
cult following, absolutely.
Yeah. And now everyone loves it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a well-made movie.
People weren't really ready for an Edgar Wright horror comedy.
No.
That was just, I mean, they're like, oh yeah, horror comedy, Shaun of the Dead. But then like, with way more gruesome murders.
Yeah, and like not zombies.
Yeah. So yeah, no, Baby Driver, everyone go see
it's
it.
It's actually a murder mystery now.
It's out now.
It.
Baby Driver just came out this past weekend. Go see it.
I can't believe I haven't seen it already.
I know. We didn't get a chance to
I'll catch
it. Yet.
I'm going to catch it soon.
Also, we're recording this early.
Oh yeah.
So spoiler alert, or behind the curtain, we're recording this early. The Beguiled.
Uh-huh.
I've never even heard of this.
Just skip it. Just
Sofia Coppola.
Skip it.
Yeah, I'm
nothing. Nothing
not
about Sofia Coppola.
Not a fan of her movies.
Yep, move
didn't,
on.
Did she do... what's that Jim Carrey movie everyone loves? Eternal Sunshine? No, that wasn't her.
I don't think so.
No, she didn't do that. No, Sofia Coppola, not a fan. Sorry. Despicable Me 3.
Yeah, also, pass.
Also, yeah.
Pass.
Yeah, see? Then it isn't until this upcoming weekend. So literally tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 6th when this drops, tomorrow Spider-Man Homecoming comes out.
It's already getting all the buzz of being the next Iron Man movie and not a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
I will see it because I am a Spider-Man fanboy. If you like good movies, you might want to skip this one and wait for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm really not impressed.
I'm already sold on it. I have to. I haven't missed a single opening weekend of Spider-Man since Spider-Man 2.
I didn't
even... I saw Spider-Man 3 opening weekend. I waited in line for Spider-Man
3. I think I saw Spider-Man 3 opening week. Well, that's the thing. Spider-Man 2 is hands down like the best Spider-Man film we've got. It's not true. It's not true Peter Parker, but as a film altogether, it's fantastic.
I don't know. I still... Tobey Maguire, to me, is always going to be my Peter Parker.
Yeah. But I know the complaints that he's not like... teenagery and angsty.
Yeah,
and
he's
enough.
Not a great Spider-Man. He's a great Peter Parker.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not a great Spider-Man. But Spider-Man 2, just as a movie and writing-wise, one of Sam Raimi's best films ever.
And one of the better comic book movies we've seen.
And then Doc Ock is probably the best villain in superhero history.
I mean, it's up
and,
there.
In the movie version, I know people are going to be like, no, Loki, but... I'm sorry, I don't like Loki.
Sure. I mean, Doc Ock is very solid. It's a solid villain in a solid movie.
And he's so fleshed out, and he actually feels like a character, not just a MacGuffin that he's fighting.
Yeah, I mean, I think his overarching like story is...
fantastic.
It's a solid villain story.
Yeah.
Great
villain. So Spider-Man Homecoming, go see it if you're a comic book fan. I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's another Spider-Man movie. He's wearing a jacket. You got to go see it, I guess.
Yeah, and they're trying to go for John Hughes-y style. Yeah.
I was really hoping for, like, a young person movie for, like, another, like, coming of age. Because, honestly...
That's the thing. That's what they're trying to do, because they're trying to make it, like, The Breakfast Club and Pretty...
Right, which I'd be super down for, because that's exactly what Marvel's been doing well, is making stylistic films for the Marvel Universe. But, again, it seems, and everyone is talking about it already, that it's just Tony Stark fest.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, you may have missed this one. I'm going to see it. I'm going to let you know what I think.
Personally, like, they come out and they're like, oh, this one's going to be like a sci-fi thing. And it's like, honestly, the last one to do anything stylistic is Guardians. Ant-Man was just...
Thor, we're getting stylistic.
No, we're getting Guardians.
again, we're not getting...
Taika Waititi is a great director, so I love the Thor franchise. I think it's like in my top two.
But we've also talked about the fact that this is a heavy metal play. This isn't an 60s or 70s
Taika Waititi.
Right, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah. Okay, so after that, War of the Planet of the Apes. I still need to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I saw the first two.
I saw Dawn, fantastic. And from everything I've heard, Rise is even better.
Well, here's the thing. You know who doesn't make bad movies?
Who?
Woody Harrelson.
Is he in this?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson plays the villain.
Oh, nice.
I mean, Woody Harrelson doesn't pick up bad flicks.
He doesn't.
I mean, outside
really...
of like, okay.
I'm sure he has a couple.
He's in the Hunger Games. I'm not going to say he's got a perfect track record.
No, but this could be his Hunger Games kind of style entry into it, though.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, Hunger Games, I'm now realizing, okay, yeah, so he fucked up on that pick. But for the most part,
he's made so many movies that it's easy to forget the bad ones he's in.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to see it for Woody Harrelson, but no. I still haven't seen the first two.
We should watch them. We should do a marathon.
I'm down for a marathon.
Like you normally do. Because the first one's great. Even James, that's like one of the few James Franco movies I like. Mm-hmm. And then I've heard everyone when the second one came out were like, holy crap, this is the Planet of the Apes prequel we've wanted. Like, they are doing right by the series.
That's awesome.
And you got Andy Serkis as like a lead guy in it. So not only is he doing most of the apes, but like he's actually having creative input, and he's actually a very good director.
Andy Serkis is dope.
He's Peter Jackson's second unit director.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow. And he's Gollum. So Gollum ran the show? Oh my God. Peter Jackson, how did you let this happen?
Yeah, Andy Serkis is fantastic.
That's awesome.
He actually has a movie with Simon Pegg.
No way.
Yeah, it's some like old-timey British like comedy.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to look it up and watch it. I like both those people.
Okay, so there's a few left. Middle of July, I have refused to watch any preview for this movie, Dunkirk, the new Christopher Nolan movie.
I'm going to see it. I like Christopher Nolan.
I love Christopher
Move
Nolan.
Move on.
I don't. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, this is the movie. We were literally waiting for the trailers in Wonder Woman. I saw the first part of this. I covered my ears as much as possible, started going la, 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 and turned my head into her shoulder so I would not see a single second of this preview. I don't want to know. I just know it's a World War II movie done by Christopher Nolan. That's all I need to know.
I'm in. I'm sold.
It goes back to our idea of
just let creative people make creative movies.
Also, for a trailer, just show the name, when it's coming out, who's directing it, who stars in it, whatever, and that's all we need.
Yeah, I'm done.
It's like what they did with Metroid Prime 4 when they announced it.
Yeah, dude, it was perfect. Metroid Prime 4.
Perfect.
Date. Done. Moving on.
All right, so this next one, it's interesting to me. Valerian and the City of a
No,
Plan.
No, it's just Jupiter Ascending again. It's just Guardians of the Galaxy again. It's just it's just capitalizing on all the sci-fi hype that's going on right now because of Star Wars and Guardians.
But you know who's directing it, right?
No, I don't care who's directing it.
Luke Benson.
Don't care.
Okay.
Fuck you, Matt.
Okay,
I can't believe this.
I'm gonna tell you three movies he's directed.
Okay.
La Femme Nikita.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
I haven't either. But okay. It's supposed to be good. The Professional.
Okay.
Leon the Professional.
Yeah, okay.
Very good movie.
Sure.
One of Natalie Portman's first roles.
Sure.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth Element.
Here's the thing.
You're not a Fifth Element fan?
No, I love the Fifth Element, but here's the thing. The Fifth Element was accidentally good.
It should have been real bad.
Yeah, I mean, look at the elements of that movie. Like, that's not a good movie on paper. Like, I don't know what happened that made that movie good, but that was not on purpose.
I don't care because I love it.
That was like, it's like accidentally origami. Like, I can't even come up with another example. It's like, oh, I just folded this dollar bill three times. Oh my God, is that an orchid? Like, that's how Fifth Element got made. I'm positive that everyone in that movie was like, what the fuck are we doing? Is this going to be good?
I stand by that movie wholeheartedly.
So do I. I think it's a great movie. I just don't know if it was, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like they fucked up and made a good movie.
All right. Then after that, we only got a few more. Atomic Blonde. Don't care.
Yeah.
It's like Salt, all that Angelina Jolie stuff. I didn't think any of those movies were good. You know what? If females feel empowered by them and they want to go see them, great. Good
you know,
for you.
They
Not
did
for
a.
Me.
It's a Kanye West Depeche Mode crossover song
that was
in the trailer. What are you doing?
The only part of the trailer I liked. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of like a sweet, like, I could
oh,
see.
Oh, no, I hated it.
Really?
It's such a bad version of that Depeche Mode song.
Oh, I love Kanye. So
I love Depeche Mode. See, that's my problem.
Yeah, it's for me, because I was like, oh, that's actually real sick, because like they used the drums from Black Skinhead in that to like, you know, do 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 do. So
right.
I was like, this sounds like a really like dope Girl Talk remix.
Okay.
You know Girl Talk?
Yeah. I just look. I'm a big Depeche Mode fan, and
it bummed you out because you're not a Kanye fan.
Nah, I mean I'm an old Kanye fan.
Oh, I like new Kanye too.
For sure.
I like all Kanye.
Emoji, just skip it.
Yeah,
just freaking skip it.
The Emoji Movie.
Skip.
Cash grab if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, just move along,
no,
sir.
Thank you. Sorry, TJ Miller. You're just going down in my book. And then, of course, I believe this is only on there because this is Rolling Stone.
The Inconvenient Truth.
An Inconvenient Sequel. The Truth to Power.
Yeah, I'll see it because I like controversial documentary shit.
Yeah, but also, like, the last one had, like, all the major facts disproven and none of them have come true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch it for entertainment value, not for education.
But that's the thing, everyone promoting this as education.
Dope. Move on.
They literally showed the first Inconvenient Truth in science classes, and none of it has come true. There's actually more polar bears now than when that movie was made.
Oh, polar bears.
Yeah, and they said all the polar bears were going to go extinct.
I mean...
And now there's more.
I mean, it's still not good for them right now. Dangerous times.
Oh yeah, I mean I get it, but also this is on here because of Rolling Stone.
Yeah, Rolling Stone's got to get it. Yeah, absolutely.
Dark Tower,
move on.
Yeah, don't really care. I mean, I love Idris Elba.
Detroit. Who's doing Detroit?
I don't know. I haven't. Dude, this is honestly. I didn't know this was.
Is that
Kathryn Bigelow?
Is that Finn?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kathryn Bigelow.
Cast skip.
So I mean, but that's like Zero Dark Thirty.
How many freaking movies are on this list, man?
A lot. And then this is the last one, Logan Lucky. That's Daniel Craig. A heist film set at North Carolina Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Sure.
May not sound like...
I mean, here's the thing. Out of the movies we just listed.
Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, and Daniel Craig in a heist movie.
Okay, sounds interesting.
That sounds good.
I'll wait for it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Out of this list of summer blockbusters, you know what the two best movies of this year are going to be? Or two biggest movies of this year are going to be?
And they've already come out.
Well, no, one of them hasn't yet.
Which one?
Episode 8.
Oh, of this year.
Star Wars.
This is specific to the summer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is like, of this year, the two biggest movies of this calendar year, 2017, is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman's in third.
Mm. Well, here's the thing. All these summer blockbusters, every single one of them, is not going to be as good or as profitable as those two movies. Or as, like, gross domestic.
Yeah.
Not gross domestic. Gross, like...
Overall gross, yeah.
It's just, it's not going to, like, Star Wars Episode 8 is scheduled for over $1 billion. Guardians of the Galaxy's got to be closing in on it, at least to a certain degree. I mean, those two movies alone, everything else is coming out, and that's what I'm saying. This movie, or this season, or this year, seems to be front and back loaded.
Yeah.
And that feels like that's going to be the way of the future. Every Star Wars movie, there's going to be a new Star Wars movie every single December.
Yeah.
There's a new Marvel movie. Every single November. So it's like, it seems like people are like letting the summer movie die. Like the summer blockbuster movie is just falling away right now.
Yeah, when is Transformers supposed to come out?
It might already be out. In fact, it is already out. I wanted to go see it the other day. It just came out.
That wasn't even on the list. I guess because Rolling Stone doesn't want to anticipate it.
And
Cars 3 isn't even on there, and that's out.
Yeah, and both those movies have been coming out every summer for forever. I mean, like... Like, the summer blockbuster is slowly dying, but it feels like the, like, filmmakers and, like studios are figuring that out. I'm like, oh, right. Put one in the holidays, put one in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe float something into the summer, but summer blockbusters are slowly dying off. And it's a shame.
Yeah. So now we've done an extensive review of this year.
Uh-huh. And just all the not good movies that are in this list.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was saying, like, I just don't feel like I want to go see anything.
Right.
And then, so we're going to quickly go through the past three years.
Right.
So 2016, we won't go in depth. Captain America Civil War,
mm-hmm.
Decent movie.
Happened.
I still think Winter Soldier is, like, the best Marvel movie made.
Yeah, that seems to be the most, like, commonly agreed upon Marvel movie.
Yeah. Neighbors 2, Cash Grab.
Yeah, capitalizing on the first one being
Conjuring 2. I was surprised there was only one horror
film. Fuck it. Just come on, Conjuring.
I know, now they're doing like the Annabelle stuff. Yeah. Now You See Me 2, really?
Yeah, just another cash grab.
Finding Dory was great.
Pixar. Pixar comes out with a good one every year.
Independence Day Resurgence. I knew from the get-go that was going to be garbage.
Yeah, I mean, why would you even do it?
The BFG. I loved this book as a kid.
Crashed. Tanked.
Yeah.
Everyone hated it.
Which is weird because it seemed like it had such a good crew behind it.
Mm.
The Ghostbusters remake.
Yep. That was garbage.
A lot of people went to go see it, but really, sorry, Paul Feig. This is probably one of your first real bad movies.
Yeah. Shame.
Yeah. Jason Bourne. Didn't even have an ultimatum or anything. He was just Jason Bourne.
I mean, one more Bourne movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know what? There's an audience out there, Adam.
I got fatigue, man.
Yeah. Bad Moms. I heard that movie was just garbage.
You know what's funny is for like 3 weeks in a row, every time I went to go see a movie, there was a bunch of mothers coming out of Bad Moms. Like a bunch of middle-aged women. And hey,
that's who that movie was made for.
Glad you guys got that movie.
Yeah.
But that was, you'd think they'd market it to everybody.
Like that trailer alone just looked.
Why not market it to everybody?
Yeah.
You know your target demo is going to go see it.
Yeah.
Can't sell it to me too. I mean, it might be good. I never seen it.
I've seen just the trailer alone makes it look
really.
Yeah.
Shame.
Now the biggest disappointment.
Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, which we have talked about on this podcast.
Still haven't seen
so
it.
So much.
Still haven't seen it.
You still don't need to.
Yep. Sausage Party.
Phenomenal.
Didn't like.
I know. I'm the only person in my life that likes.
No,
this movie.
I know. Like we know people who also like it.
Okay.
But for me, it was just kind of. I got the main message after the first 20 minutes, and I was like, okay, you can stop trying to hammer it into my brain that you hate God.
I got nailed home on this movie every single second. Every single second of the movie I think is enjoyable. But that is, it touched me in such a way that I had to.
Well, you hate God, so.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Pete's Dragon. Heard that was actually pretty good. I was a big fan of the original as a kid. Didn't go see this.
I honestly, this wasn't even on my radar. I can't tell you that I've seen a trailer for this.
I've heard it was good. So that was last year.
Was Mad Max not last year? That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
So that was...
That was just a garbage pile.
Yeah, this was a
Huffington... two solid movies.
Yeah, exactly. And this was Huffington Post, the 13 blockbusters that could define 2016's summer movie season by Huffington Post.
Right.
And we all know Huffington Post has the best ideas.
Yep. All right, so this is...
So now we're moving on to 2015. And let's see how... So this is from The Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Summer movies 2015, a calendar of the season's hottest films.
Mm, the hottest films.
This is where we start to see better.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron.
I was a big fan, but I am a Marvel fanboy, and I will accept that.
I thought it lacked a lot of...
Yeah.
No. It was just a big... Well, also,
I still have fan goggles on. I mean, that's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm still wearing the fan goggles.
I've been able to get past those.
But that being said, I still have only seen it once.
Yeah, I think that's all you need to. I think the main problem with that one, just for a second, was the studio getting way involved in them constantly fighting with Joss Whedon. You know, that always happens.
No, absolutely. And it's always a shame.
Hot Pursuit.
The fuck was
Reese that? Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara.
Oh, yeah. Just
yep.
Come on.
Some, horror movie called Before I Wake.
Nope, missed it.
Mad Max Fury Road. Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, a modern
probably
classic.
The best movie of that year.
And hey, ladies out there who probably have noticed that we have been shitting on female-led movies and strong female characters.
Charlize Theron is hands down the lead of that movie.
Yeah, like, hey, we get it. Charlize Theron is not titular.
She was the lead of that movie.
Right, but she's not Mad Max. She's not titular. She's not the title character. I was using titular and then pausing because tit is a word in that.
Yeah, we're totally not misogynistic.
No, but what I'm saying is like, yeah, she's not the titular character, so she is just a character in that movie. But like Charlize Theron is like the hero and a badass.
Yeah.
And
it's probably how she got that new Atomic Blonde movie.
Yeah, and the true protag.
Yeah.
Like, talk about like strong female movies.
You want to
like,
know where Wonder Woman missed the mark for David? Go watch Fury Road.
Well, but also Fury Road is partially about like the female struggle. Like, there's all this idea of women being used for their breast milk, and then all the women leave because we are not property. And then when they come back as, you know, saviors.
Yeah.
And like, there's this like really the strong idea of feminism in that movie.
Yeah.
And like, where was the feminist outcry for that movie
good? That's the thing. And it's not like a third wave. That's what, you know why? Because it's not a third wave feminist movie.
What the fuck is there? I'm sorry. That's the amount of profanity.
We'll have to talk about that after. It's
we'll do another episode next week on third wave feminism.
Oh, no, because we will lose a lot of people.
Okay.
So after that, Pitch Perfect 2. Fun movie. Fun summertime. Go turn off your brain movie.
Mm.
You didn't see it?
No.
She's a big fan of him. Okay. I like him.
Fair.
So then after Pitch Perfect 2, then next was Tomorrowland. Mixed reviews on that. I enjoyed it.
It was garbage.
I thought we went to go see it at the El Capitan.
I saw it at the Arclight in Hollywood in the Dome.
Yeah, we saw it at El Capitan, so it like had that Disney feel to it, and they did like a magic show before. And
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, so it was an experience.
Right, but have you seen the movies since then?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure. Why would you?
I'm a big fan of Damon Lindelof and Brad Bird. So
am I. am I, Matt. I'm not shitting on the people who made that movie. I'm shitting on the movie that was made.
Well, you know why JJ got episode 7, right?
Because of Brad Bird?
Because Brad Bird was doing Tomorrowland.
Oh, no way. Brad Bird was going to do Star Wars?
He was going to do episode 7 before JJ.
Fuck Disney. Disney. Why did you let JJ make Star Wars?
The problem was Brad Bird turned it down because he was going to have to leave Tomorrowland like in the middle of shooting to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to do that. He's like, I want to see my movie through. I'm not
going to. Couldn't they just wait it out?
No.
Just be like, okay, Star Wars, because we got the perfect guy to do it. His name is Brad Bird and he makes good movies and we're waiting for him to make it.
Literally the first like bad reviewed movie Brad Bird has ever made.
Gosh damn it. Dude, they should have switched. Let JJ take the hit on Tomorrowland and let Brad Bird go and make a Star Wars franchise that we can all be proud of.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next? Just a row of disappointment.
But so far, this year, this movie's, you know, 2015 was a better year.
Yeah, marginally. I mean, it had Mad Max.
We're not done. I mean, Avengers was
first
good.
Avengers? No, Avengers. Right. Age of Ultron. Right.
You know, Avengers, still a Marvel movie, you know, makes it pretty good.
Yeah.
Poltergeist. I mean, we're still in May.
Right.
So okay. This is like a much longer calendar because mm-hmm. this is everything.
Right. Poltergeist, we don't need another remake of that.
Yeah.
Or a remake of that.
Yeah, I like Sam Rockwell, but... I like Sam Rockwell in indie movies or as a villain. As a main guy in a studio movie, you know it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Iron Man 3.
Two?
No.
And three.
He was only in three.
No, because he gave Whiplash.
Oh, yeah, he was in two. You're right. He was with Whiplash in two. And then he's in Moon, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I need to see that.
Oh, my God. See that movie. It's so good.
San Andreas? That did huge.
Dude, San Andreas was solid.
Really?
Yeah, The Rock carried the shit out of that movie, which is the only reason why I saw it. Also, Alexandra Daddario was in that, too.
Huh.
She was The Rock's daughter.
Huh. Well, that's probably why they were both in Baywatch together.
Are they love interest
in thing.
Baywatch?
Which is why it's weird that, you know, Baywatch wasn't there.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah.
Oh, something I'm not sure if they meant. Oh, another movie they didn't put on that Rolling Stone one. Fate of the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
For 2017.
Well, that was early. That was really early for summer.
That was like May still. That was around. Was
it
before Guardians?
Right now. It was before Guardians by a long shot. We saw that in like April. Maybe earlier than that. That may have been March.
April 14th. You're right.
April 14th.
So just right before. Fate of the Furious was great.
Stupid. I mean, it knows what it is. Yeah, it knows exactly. What it is.
That's why it's great.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's fun. Dude. 2015, we'll get to it later, but it's when 7 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Single tear.
Yeah.
I teared up a little bit. Dude, it's just the ending.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, it was a solid sad ending.
Solid sad, but happy.
It's just another Fast and Furious movie, and that one didn't know what it was.
No. But nothing can beat the bank heist in 5.
See, 5 knew what it was. 5 was like, yeah, we're just doing the Italian job.
But we're going to do it Fast and the Furious style, so it's going to be awesome. So after San Andreas, Aloha.
Oh, that was with...
the Cameron Crowe movie with Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone. Yeah, bad. After that, Spy.
Was that with like Rainn Wilson or something?
No, that was Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, just and Jason Statham, right?
Yeah, why was that made?
I don't know.
Empowering women by putting a fat one on movies?
It was another Paul Feig, I think. I'm not sure if it was Paul Feig, but he tends to do those.
Melissa McCarthy does not strike me as a leading woman.
No, she's much better supporting. But she did so well in Bridesmaids that they're like, oh, make her leading.
Yeah, make her a lead.
Yeah.
But you know what she did really well in Bridesmaid?
Support.
Be a support.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's just...
Ensembles. That's where she shines.
Tom Brady is a great quarterback. He should bat for the
Yankees.
It's like
next up to
it's a different job.
Next up to the plate for the Boston Red Sox, Tom Brady. What? You can pitch, right? You can throw a ball. You can pitch.
Larry Fitzgerald is a great receiver. He should play lineman. It's like that's a different job.
We should
entirely.
Put him out in the outfield, right?
Yeah, it's just an entirely different job. Like, why would you take a great support and make them?
I mean,
here's not to jerk off.
We got to get through this. We're running a little long.
Sorry, not to jerk off James Gunn for a moment, but Michael Rooker,
amazing support guy.
Never had to take on a lead role in a James Gunn film or a James Gunn story because James Gunn gets James Gunn's like, yeah, Michael Rooker, you're a great supporting actor and you're always going to be a great supporting actor for me.
And Michael Rooker knows that.
Michael Rooker's like, yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah, he's like, I will make a name for myself like
as a supporting actor. Yeah.
He's like J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons is always going to be a solid supporting actor.
Yeah. Amazing.
Or a spokesperson.
Except for Whiplash, which he was a lead. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, hey, now and again. But yeah. He's not going to be cast
but again,
as a lead
it was
anytime
an indie
soon again.
Film. It was an indie film.
Short of. Yeah.
Yeah. He is a support in... he plays James Gordon in Justice League.
Really?
The new universe. James Gordon is played by J.K. Simmons.
That's dope.
Yeah. Apparently he bulked up like hardcore for it too.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know why James Gordon needs to be buff, but
hey, you go
Zack
J.K.
Snyder.
You go J.K. Simmons.
After Spy, Insidious Chapter 3.
The first one's great.
I never saw any of them.
Stop making Insidious movies.
That's what they do.
Just because you make one good horror movie doesn't mean you have to make six more in the same franchise.
Yes, you do.
It's worked like three times.
Halloween, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp, I think, only made like three or four, maybe.
What I'm saying is, like, it works now and again, but like, you want to start listing off all the ones that didn't?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Oh, that didn't do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty.
Yeah.
Saw franchise did it.
Yeah.
But they're cheap and they're easy and brand recognition.
Just...
With horror movie, it's half about brand recognition.
I'm just tired of it. I just want to see creative people make creative movies.
I know, but we're different. One movie I didn't see that I wanted to, Entourage. I watched the entire series, so I'm surprised I still haven't seen the movie. I heard it just got so panned, I was like, I don't think I can watch it and ruin it.
I thought the whole thing was just like, it was just a parody of itself.
That's what I heard. I heard it was just bad.
Yeah, that was just like, it was Entourage to the nth degree, which is not something you want.
No.
It's like if The Simpsons went to the nth degree. Well, they have, I guess. Their 20th season.
But Matt Groening is a lot smarter than that. So then, after that, Jurassic World. That was definitely the biggest one of that year.
And the biggest dumpster fire of them all.
Oh, I thought it was fun and stupid.
You're fun and stupid.
I know. That's why I liked it.
I hate you.
Dope came out. Did you see Dope?
No, what was Dope?
Dope is awesome. It's an indie film about this kid. He's a senior in high school in Compton, mm-hmm. but he's like really into, so it takes place in present day, but he's really into like 90s culture. Mm-hmm. So he's got a high top, okay. like kid in play, and he wears like 90s like button up shirts and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so he loves 90s rap culture, and he looks like he's straight out of Yo MTV Raps. But he ends up getting involved in like this weird drug deal thing and like having to get out of it while writing his college tuition, like writing his college essay and stuff. And
oh,
like,
weird.
But he's like an A+ student all across the board. Solid. He's going to go anywhere, but he's also trying to like stay out of, you know, like the gang culture.
How is it?
Very good.
I'll catch
Fantastic.
It. It's a good recommendation.
Yeah. Another great Pixar. Every year's got Pixar. Mm-hmm. Inside
that
Out.
Was Inside Out, yeah.
You want to go cry in the summer? Inside Out.
That was also the Good Dinosaur year.
Yeah. Ted 2. Didn't see it.
No, Tom Brady was in it.
With a glowing penis.
Was it?
Remember
in the trailer?
Yeah, they open up because they're trying to get his sperm to impregnate right. Ted's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird.
Yeah, it got... Well, it's Seth MacFarlane doing a R-rated teddy bear movie.
About Boston.
Yeah.
Terminator Genesis. Genesis. Excuse me.
Done. So done with Terminator.
Magic Mike XXL.
Super done.
Minions.
Oh, yeah. That needed a standalone. I can't believe that came out already.
In 2015.
That's honestly, I feel like that's still about to come out. I don't know why.
Because it's never going to stop being pushed in your face.
Oh, yeah. Kids Minions. All right. Despicable Me 3 is coming out. That's why.
Let's see. I'll just go through some of the main ones. Ant-Man came out this year.
Yeah,
in July.
That was the big
flop. It was a July.
Well, again, we've talked about this before. Should let Edgar Wright make that movie.
Yeah.
Should have just let him make the movie.
Yeah. Trainwreck.
That was Rebel Wilson? No, that was
the Amy Schumer
Amy
movie.
Amy Schumer.
Kind of boring.
Amy Schumer makes bad stuff.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer's not a good...
Just look at her last comedy special.
Was it bad? I mean, again...
They literally changed the rating system on Netflix because it was rated so low.
Wow.
They went from stars because it had a one star. Mm-hmm. It was like the lowest rated thing ever. Everyone hated it.
Wow.
And that's
why
they changed
the thing.
Yeah. That's when they did the likes and the thumbs up.
Wow.
Because of that.
I have to go watch it now.
It's terrible.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we've talked about this before. Again, for female listeners who think that we're misogynistic assholes.
Even women hated it.
Well, yeah. Well, even still, just in case, here's what you want to do. Watch any Amy Schumer half hour special. When you finish doing that, turn it off and then watch any Sarah Silverman special from the 90s.
Same thing. You
will find is that Amy Schumer is just Sarah Silverman from the 90s.
Well, she's a massive joke stealer.
Oh, I mean, that aside, yeah, she is Sarah Silverman from the 90s.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. It's so blatant.
And what hurts me is like when I see people who are fans of Amy Schumer, I'm like, oh, do you guys like Sarah Silverman? And they're like, who's Sarah? I mean, is vaguely familiar. And it's like, okay. Well, you're actually a fan of Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of Amy Schumer.
No. Amy Schumer is just I've yeah. never really liked her that much.
Shame.
So then you got, excuse me.
More like last comic farting. Amy well, Schumer.
Right. She was on that.
She was last comic standing.
She got her start. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pan, the Peter Pan remake, Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Nope. That one kind of just flew under the radar.
I remember the trailer for that looking real like fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was just like,
whatever.
It, yeah, it started coming out. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, here's no a great one. Pixels.
Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler.
That movie tanked. So
Adam Sandler is male Amy Schumer.
No, because Adam Sandler actually used to be funny.
All right, that's a good point. If Sarah Silverman turned into Amy Schumer and they're actually one person and we're being faked, then Adam Sandler is the male version of Sarah Silverman
or slash Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 5. Fantastic movie. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I love the Mission Impossible series.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're totally welcome to. Simon Pegg is in some of them, and I think that's great.
He's in 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Ghost Protocol is hands down the best. Ghost Protocol. If you want to watch any Mission Impossible, go watch Mission Impossible 1, 3, and 4.
Sure.
No, just watch the entire thing. It's all great.
Just watch all of them.
Just watch all of them.
Just
They're
watch
fantastic.
14 hours of Mission Impossible. It's Tom Cruise screaming. Not really. He probably never screamed.
And doing
the
all
series.
His own stunts.
Yeah, that, you know, I think is super dope.
That scene
I have a lot
in
of
Mission
respect
that
for
in
with
the train.
Plane.
Yeah,
yeah
he
know,
actually
that's
did
super
that.
Hyped.
He actually did that.
Yeah, I mean, he was tied to the side of the plane.
Tom
he still
Cruise
flew in the side of a plane.
Tied himself, literally harnessed himself to a side of a C-130 and flew off hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah. Go Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I have a lot of respect for those movies.
Yeah.
It's not my taste.
All right, man. Wow, 2015 had a lot of movies. Fantastic Four.
Wait, what?
The
Fantastic Four?
Yeah, there? With Miles Teller and...
Oh, yeah, the one that was trying to be body horror and then they forgot to make that movie? Yeah, no, I remember that. And then there was a climax and then they forgot that it could have ended right there and so they did a second climax?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
I never
that
saw it.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Never
Miles
saw
Teller.
It.
Yeah, go all watch right. it.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. kind of flew under the radar.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. I still haven't seen and I still want to see. I'm just remembering it exists now.
Yeah. Straight out of Compton.
Crazy motherfucking named Ice Cube.
Yeah, so that came out. That was did very well.
It was bad.
I haven't seen it.
I wasn't a fan.
Underdogs. I don't even know what that is.
It's a movie about Underdog.
Group of foosball players. All right.
So what's the thesis
so,
of this?
No, hold on. We're almost done. Masterminds. Oh, Kristen Wiig, Zach Galifianakis.
Let's just get to the thesis. Yeah. What is the thesis of this episode,
okay.
Matt?
Yeah, pretty much there's nothing else after what? That.
So, Matt, what do you... This is. These are three... These are
terrible
four,
years.
Was it 4 years?
No. We haven't done the fourth year yet. That okay. was all 2015. That 2015 took a while. I know. We're getting there. We'll do the thesis after. Okay, so this one, I'm going to go quick. This is digitalspy.com.
Okay, you hit the movie. I'm going to say thumbs up, thumbs down. Or I'm going to okay. say, yeah, thumbs up,
ranking
thumbs down.
2014 summer blockbusters from worst to best.
Hit it.
So this has only got 13 of them.
I don't even have to say anything then.
Expendable. So number 13, Expendables 3.
So this is worst or this is best?
Worst.
Okay, agreed. Go on.
All right. Transformers Age of Extinction
agreed.
At 12. But just Hercules at 11.
Agreed.
Divergent, Detergent, Insurgent.
I agreed. I saw that one without ever seeing any of the other ones. I saw it like opening weekend on a Thursday night.
Maleficent, number 9.
Eh.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 at number 8.
Oh, God, garbage.
Here's Godzilla at number 7.
Garbage.
Entertaining.
Entertaining garbage.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Solid.
See, this is the thing. How many solid movies did we have on the other ones? Maybe 2 or 3?
Not a lot.
No. This is where it starts getting better.
Okay, hit me.
Number 6. I think the top 6 are correct. I haven't seen any How to Train Your Dragon
movies. How to Train Your Dragon 2 is solid.
So How to Train Your Dragon 2 at 6. X-Men Days of Future Past at 5.
Widely regarded as the best X-Men movie.
I don't think... I'd say First Class and number 2 are the best.
Yeah.
I would put this in number 3 for sure.
I don't think First Class is as good as Days of Future Past.
Really?
Yeah.
I love First Class. Mainly because I love Matthew Vaughn.
I thought this was way better. But go on.
Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Why they regard it as the best Captain movie.
And one of the best Marvel movies.
Yep, go on.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Why they're regarded as one of the best
Planet of the Apes movies. Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat.
I loved it.
Fantastic movie.
I mean, I love Groundhog Day.
They're doing a sequel.
Huge fan of Groundhog Day.
But this one's with aliens in war.
Groundhog Day.
But in space.
Right, Groundhog Day.
But did you see it?
Yeah, of course.
It's fantastic.
I love Groundhog Day.
Will you?
It's sci-fi Groundhog Day. I mean, like, how else can you? That's what that movie is.
Oh, no,
they're both good because Groundhog Day is good.
Yes. All right. All right. Apparently, they're doing a sequel that explains the confusing ending.
How is that any confusing? I got it.
I don't know. I guess they're going to explain a little bit more.
Live, Die, Repeat, baby.
And then number one on this list, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah. So 2014 was the last year of like having multiple films.
To be fair, this was a top 13 list.
Of summers. This is exclusively to summer.
But still, I mean, the other ones we did, I think, 20.
No, but this is from worst to best.
All right. I mean, still, but so we're not skipping over like the irrelevant bullshit that happened.
Yeah, but this also has, like, even if we skip over the irrelevant stuff in the other ones, it's still not a lot of good movies.
I mean, if the thesis that you're getting at, if what you're trying to say in this overarching podcast is that the summer blockbuster is on a decline, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. We talked about this at the top of the episode, is that I think the summer blockbuster is on the decline.
And I'm saying 2014 was the last good summer of movies.
Yeah, and then it started collapsing. And I think if we sat here and we thought about it real hard, good movies are now coming out at the beginning and the end of the year. The summer blockbuster slots seem to be where movies go to die.
I have a fix for that.
What's the fix for that, Matt? Move Star Wars to summer?
No.
Okay.
Bring back early 2000s Will Smith movies.
But you can't. But that needs an early 2000s Will Smith. Do we have? Oh, you know what? He's got a son that's probably about the right age to start doing
Will Smith
summer
could
movies.
Still do those movies.
Yeah, you know,
if you put Will Smith now at the age he's in like the original Independence Day, it's still believable.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Sure.
You don't believe me.
I mean, look.
But Will Smith is.
We don't need to lean on Will Smith. Is what I'm saying.
But I loved doing it. He is known as the king of 4th of July weekend.
Sure.
They always put his movies on 4th of July weekend, and they always made millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, that's great. But we can't. I mean, there's obviously has to be a point in time where that's not feasible anymore, where we have to find out.
And we were at it with Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Suicide Squad was a Will Smith summer movie.
He wasn't the lead, though, which was weird. He's actually turned. You know, he was supposed to be Django.
Really?
Yeah, but he turned it down.
Hmm. You know, he was supposed to be Neo?
Because he wasn't the full lead. Was he supposed to be Neo?
He was supposed to be Neo, and Sean Connery was supposed to be Morpheus.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a famous one.
I think.
But you know what he turned down to do?
What?
Well, to round this up, just because this is such a fantastic story, and this is going to be the end of the podcast, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, thesis is summer movies are pretty much dying, and they're bad.
Okay. That being said, why Will Smith turned down The Matrix, what he got instead. Kevin Smith, about a year before that, was brought on to make a Superman movie.
Oh, I know this. I know exactly
the producer wanted a Superman
Donner.
Movie with a giant spider in it.
Richard, or what? Was it
Whoever
Richard
the
Donner?
Fuck it was. They wanted a movie with a giant spider in it. Let me tell the story.
Multiple other movies.
With giant spiders in it. Hold on. So he wants this giant spider movie. Kevin Smith doesn't deliver. Kevin Smith gets cut from doing the Superman movie. Fast forward about a year.
And this
that
was
producer,
be that Nick Cage, Tim Burton Superman
right.
movie.
Fast forward about a year. Will Smith gets signed on by the same producer to do a movie set in the West featuring a giant spider. He turns down Neo from The Matrix to make Wild Wild West. And that, my friends, is how Wild Wild West is made.
And then why it has a giant spider is because the producer of that movie always wanted a giant spider in a movie, was trying to get into a Superman one. I think he was trying to turn Brainiac into like a giant spider.
Lesson we learned, folks. Just get Will Smith and a giant spider. Yeah.
And that's where the Nick Cage.
Yeah, Superman movie went to die.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will Smith. I guess that sacrifice, we got summer movies for like 5 years.
No, longer than that. Will Smith was like king of the 4th of July weekend for 10 years.
5 years.
All right. Well, I hope you guys realize that movies are starting to suck during the middle of the summer, so go out and do things instead.
Yeah, like go to the beach. La playa.
Or if you don't have Spanish. A beach, go to a lake. Go to a creek. Make sure it's not tainted.
I think those would all still be considered La Playa as the beach.
No, not really.
You can have a beach and a lake.
Yeah, but not a creek or a river.
Why not? Sandy shore. Beach.
I guess kind of, but...
Life is a beach, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to
Life's
My Opinion.
Life's a beach, and
But that's just my opinion. The podcast hosted by me, David Navarro.
And me, my land trip. If you want to follow the podcast online, you can follow us on Twitter at btjmopod, facebook.com/btjmopod, and email us what your quintessential summer movie, the best all-time summer movie from any era, any year. Let us know what you think it is. You can email us at butthat'sjustmyopinionpod, or you can hit us up on any of those. And it's at gmail.com, because I forgot to mention that. So...
Dear listener,
I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. I hope you look more actively into the movies you're gonna go see. Don't see Transformers.
Look at trends, listener. Matt, what are we closing out with? What song are we walking out of here with?
Because it's summer, and happy 4th of July to everyone, since we just missed that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good song by Lupe Fiasco about meeting a pretty lady, and she's the light of his life, and it's called Sunshine.
Damn.
Off Food and Liquor. It's a nice, fun song. So everyone go enjoy that sunshine, whether it be the real sunshine or the sunshine of your life.
Aw. That was nice, Matt.
Thanks. I tried.
All right.
Well, everyone, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And remember, you may agree or disagree with us, but that's just our opinion.
Amy Schumer.
To the set she is, so death might not let me live. You did fresh, yes she is. Had a feeling that it would be a day like this. The orchestra in my mind don't play like this, nah. But I'm prepared for it, got a little red for it. Brushed off my ears, even cut my hair for it. Cause normally I don't care for it. Don't even be looking for life like that. Then there go it, yeah, right over there. So I prepared to pour it, little scared, my stare lowered. Mama said have no fear, plus I'm already out of my chair. Gather up my ears on my square from here forward. It's nothing right, so here go it. Whisper in the ears, kinda crowded in here. Wish you care to blow it, she said yeah.
You're sunshine, you're my moonlight, you're the starry skies above me. Won't you please come down and hug me? Think I found love in this club tonight. Whoa, whoa.
Never met her before, but I think I like her like a metaphor. It's hard to get in the car we sit. From the intro, she rolled down a window just in case I was a schizo. I compliment her on the common sense. I'm calm, a little more confident. And then we lose consciousness. She says that I've been waiting for you, and I know you've been chasing me too. Since they kidnapped me from a castle, I've been thinking of you. I told a fire-breathing dragon he bet not harm me or be sorry when he meets my one-man army. And thou has come to rescue me, my knight in shining armor, yes you be. Woken up by the horn of an SUV. I said, see, too beautiful to let you sleep. You're my sunshine, the starry skies above me. Won't you please come down and hug me? Think I found love in this club tonight. Whoa, whoa. Relationship is just 30 minutes long. It's kinda heavy, maybe a little strong. Gonna take much more than once. Can't trust what each of us say, at least for a month or two. Before I bid you adieu, do this one thing for me. Out of the trillions of numbers that's in the world, just leave me a few, they'll lead to you. Won't be long, and I'll see you in the morning.
You're my sunshine, sunshine. You're my moonlight. You're the starry skies above me. Won't you please come down and hug me? Think I found love in this. this club tonight. Whoa, whoa. Sunshine, you're my moonlight, you're the starry skies above me, won't you please?